You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been involved in this series in relationship to our back-to-school Bible bash, and I've been preaching some messages that, though they are really helpful to us all, certainly they have been aimed more at the youth of our church as they have returned to school, and for the most part, I believe everybody's back to school, maybe all except the exception of Austin, and that's just because of construction there at the school. But the first message was the danger of a bad friend and what a bad friend can get you into, and certainly the second message was the marks of a good friend. And today we are going to continue to move on, maybe a little bit deeper, so to say, and we're going to look at relationships. Now, much of what I have preached today, I actually have preached here before. In fact, the notes that I'm using for this message stretch back about 6 to 7 years ago. And when I was preaching to the youth then, during a similar circumstance, a similar time, a back-to-school time, but something remarkable took place during those years since then. That is, as those kids grew up, they grew up. Most of them have grown up and gone away. As I began to think about, as I preached this message the first time around, the Prater boys were sitting back there. Jessica was still in college and unmarried. All of those people that were here at that point in time that were teenagers are all grown up and gone, with the exception of Ethan. So we now have a different group of teenagers. And really that's who this message is designed for, is those teens and 20-year-olds, or those who are really even unmarried. That's who this is for. And why? Why is it necessary? It's necessary because when you're a teenager, one of the dominant thoughts of your mind is a relationship. Let's just be honest. You know how you were back then. I know how I was back then, and you thought an awful lot about the other sex. As you grew up, and even as you were unmarried, it still was a dominating thought in your mind. Now, the fact is many of us are older, and the guidance that we had in our life was maybe a little bit different than it is now. And why do I say that? It's because right now, unfortunately, most of the advice that our children get about relationships doesn't come from mom and dad. It comes from YouTube. It comes from TV. It comes from magazines. It comes from their friends at school. It has very little to do with things, by the way, that foster good relationships and lead to good marriages. And again, even if you're not young today, this could still be you. This is still a message for you. Most of you all have children or grandchildren or whatever it might be, and eventually they're going to come up and come to that point where they're thinking of dating and marriage, and you can pass these things along. Now, as I say this, as I speak to the kids, I think the adults know this as well, but as I speak to the kids today, this message that I preach is not because that I did everything right when it came to relationships and dating. Truth is that I did most everything wrong. So, if you ever have any questions, feel free to come to talk to me. Because, of course, I'm going to give you what God's answer is, but I will listen with a compassionate ear because I know what I've been and the things that I've done. Now, and I, you know what the thing of it is maybe if someone would have taken the time with me as a minister or a teacher and preached these things, maybe I wouldn't have ended up in that shape. So, here I am to preach this message today. So without further delay, let's turn over to the book of Genesis in chapter 2. The book of Genesis in chapter 2. That's the easy one to find, right? Open it up. It's the beginning book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 18. Genesis 2:18. And it says here, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him." I am sure that everyone here understands the emotions that are tied up in this verse. You know, as we look around this sanctuary, of course, most of the people here are married, have been married, some widowed, some divorced, whatever it might be, but you know what that's like. There was a time in your life and a time in my life in which we began to desire after someone of the opposite sex, a time when we no longer wanted to be alone with our own emotions, a time when we desired someone to complete us. The Lord said, speaking of Adam, "I will make him a helpmeet, a wife for him." Now, Eve was created especially for Adam. God knew what Adam's desires were, and God knew exactly what kind of personalities matched him, what he knew what kind of physical traits would match him. You know, he knew exactly what he would need. He didn't need Match.com or Tinder or whatever these things are. God knew exactly what would be right for Adam. And I want to submit to you today that God, if He desires you to marry, and guess what? Not all will, and that's okay. But if God desires you to marry, then He has created the exact person that you need. That doesn't mean, and I hope that you understand this, that God is going to give to you someone who is perfect. They are not perfect, and certainly they will not be. And if you're looking for one who is perfect, well, you're going to be looking forever. And I also want to say this from the very beginning, that just because we know that someone is not going to be perfect, because we're not perfect, right? We're not perfect. It also means that as we enter into a relationship, that we must become accepting of everything, because that is very far from the truth. Everything is not acceptable. For example, if you bring home a boy with a little bit of a drug problem, if you bring home a girl with a little bit of a drinking problem, forget it. Move on. You may think that you can fix someone, and it may seem like they may straighten themselves up for a while, but you cannot control what they do when they are out of your presence. And people are very good at hiding things, often until they're married. When it comes to seeking after a godly relationship, please understand that God doesn't expect you to enter it as Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It when it comes to them. Let's read down in verse 24. In verse 24 it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This verse is speaking about the marriage covenant between two people in which they become one person. Listen, marriage is a good thing. It is an honorable thing. And I know for those who are younger here today that it is something that they actively look forward to in life. You know, as I began to think about that, it won't be long before some of the youth here today may enter down that exact same road. You know, I think about young girls, and young girls often plan for marriage much longer than boys. They began, you know, they in their playtime when they were kids, and they begin to act out certain things in certain marriages, and I'll never forget one time when I came home from work and my daughter had just got this Barbie wedding dress for her. I didn't even know they made dresses for people with Barbie on it. But she had a Barbie wedding dress on and it had shoes, and whenever you walked it played "Here Comes the Bride." And you know, when I walked into the room and she was so proud of how she looked, she couldn't have been more than 3 years old. You know what it did? It broke my heart. It broke my heart because I knew, even at that moment, that someday, I'm glad she's not here to listen to this. She says, no, not really. But someday, she's going to walk down the aisle with somebody else. And you know what? That imaginary perfect person that she had in her mind isn't going to be the guy she marries. He's not perfect. He's got faults and failures just like she does as well. And you know what? To a dad, sometimes that's just already hard to get to, you know, get through. I know some of you dads have been through that already. But girls, they plan about marriage. You watch them, they doodle on their notebooks all kinds of guys' last names, trying to figure out, you know, whose last name looks best with them. I'll be honest, I even did that a few times in my life. But look at our verse here. There's something I want you to see that is missing that a lot of people think should be there. You see, it doesn't say that they lived happily ever after. It doesn't say that. You know why? Because real life's not a fairy tale. And marriage isn't a fairy tale. You see, they had trials ahead of them. Adam and Eve had trials ahead of them. What kind of trials did they have? Do you know what? They got kicked out of their home because of sin. You know what? They had problems with their kids so much that one killed another. Now, folks, that's troubles. That's trials. But through all the temptation that Satan threw at them, they stayed together and they had children. Listen, relationships and ultimately marriage is not a fairy tale, and don't begin to fool yourself thinking that it is. Listen, marriage is truly one of the most wonderful things in life, but marriage takes effort. And marriage is not a 50-50 thing. Marriage is 100% on one side and 100% on the other side, and that's what it takes. And listen, when one person's doing 100% and this person over here is doing 50%, you know what that causes? It causes feelings of resentment in a marriage. So marriage is truly 100% on both parts. When you marry someone, you are vowing to be with that person for life. Listen, that's what God intended. That's what He desired. And by the way, why am I talking about marriage when I'm just talking about relationships that we're going to get to? It's because really marriage should be the end goal of a relationship, right? That should be the desire of a relationship. Eventually, to be married for life. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Marriage is for life, at least it should be. Not a life sentence, but a life of completeness. So when you're ready, especially to our children who are growing up, when you're ready, choose only a date who would make a good mate. That was on my Sunday school wall as I grew up. Choose only a date who would make a good mate. That is, go out with somebody only that would make a good wife or a good husband. Don't settle for 1 minute someone that you can't imagine spending the rest of your life with. Don't even waste your time with that. If you can't imagine bringing that person home to mom and dad, don't bother because they're not worth the trouble. In fact, you'll probably only get yourself into trouble. Be picky. Again, you're not going to find somebody that's perfect, but be picky. Be picky. Because it'll pay off in the end. I know what the world says. And I know how the world acts. The world presents this message that is go out with as many people as you can. Hook up with as many people as you can. Taste everything that you can taste in life. And music and TV and everything else just preaches this message that says that sex is okay. And teenagers fall in that line that this is what we do, right? I need a boyfriend and I can do this. without ever any real preparation of mind or heart or anything. And it's sad. And they think to themselves, if I don't do this, then he won't love me. Or if I don't do this, she won't stay with me. And it's sad. Listen, I want you to understand, a godly relationship is one that will wait for godly marriage. A godly relationship is one where true love waits and true love will wait. Anything worth having in this life is worth waiting for. It's worth working for. One of the greatest relationships that we see in the Word of God is Jacob's love for Rachel. And he works more than 7 years for her, waiting for her. I also want to say that you might actually listen to your mom and dad occasionally when they give you advice about those kind of guys or kind of girls that you start bringing home. Believe it or not, and I know that you might find this really shocking, but your parents have a little bit of wisdom, especially on this matter. They've been through it. They've had some experience in life. You know, it's really funny. We live in a culture where, you know, we're expected to teach our kids, and our kids learn things. You know, we teach our boys how to play ball or whatever it might be, if that's their interest. We women teach their daughters how to put on makeup, how to make a fried egg, whatever it might be. We teach them all these life skills. But when it comes to a relationship, then suddenly kids think that that's a hands-off type of thing. I'm my own person. I'm the one who chooses. I'm the one who makes decisions. Well, listen, your parents have your best at heart. And believe it or not, they know the kind of person that you need. In many instances. Not all children are the same. Children have different needs. But your parents actually know a thing or two. So listen occasionally. Listen all the time, really. Now, back to our relationships. Now, there are some traits that you should look for as you enter into the dating pool and as you choose the right person. And again, if you don't think that person will be the kind of person that you could marry, then throw them back in the pool, because there will be more to take their place. But if that special person seems to pass the initial evaluation, then there are some things that you certainly need to be looking towards. And the first one I told you was coming last week, so it should be no surprise to you. But you need to look for a young man or a young woman that is a Christian. I cannot stress it enough. The Word of God declares, 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? This is first, this is foremost. You cannot expect someone who is not a Christian to understand why you do certain things and why you don't do other things. You can't expect them to understand why you feel it necessary to be at church every Sunday, or maybe even Wednesday night as well, instead of going to the mall, or instead of going to a concert, or whatever it might be. Understand this as well, that when you're saved and you enter into a relationship, and this is true whether you just enter that relationship or whether you've been married for 50 or more years, but it is not the other person who comes first in your life. And I know that that might seem like a shock, but it's not the other person that comes first in your life. The person who comes first in your life is God. And that's true for both of you. It is God that comes first. It is your service to God, your worship to God. It must come first. And folks, if that's not what you have, you need to move on. I also want to add this, and again, I added this last week, but I don't believe it's going beyond what Scripture says. If you truly want to be happy, enter into a relationship with another Baptist, with somebody that's like you, that understands like you, and believes like you. Because, folks, it's one thing to understand that you marry a Christian, you have this basic understanding of Christ and what He did for you. But when you have children, where are you going to go to church if no one's willing to budge? What do you teach the kids as far as what's right? You see, there's some things to think about that makes life a little bit easier. So consider that. Number two, the person to whom you are seeking in a relationship should be beautiful. Tall, thin, and gorgeous? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not what the world portrays as beautiful, but I'm talking about what's beautiful to you. And that's not necessarily talking about physical qualities, because beauty really is only skin deep. It is what is on the inside that counts. The outside is just a bonus. It's just a bonus. Physically, we all have different tastes and desires, and what is wonderful in physical beauty is truly in the eye of the beholder. We all know that to be true. I was at a conference one time, and this man who's about my age, he was speaking, and he gave this message, and he began to talk about his wife and how God gave him his wife and how beautiful she was and all this stuff. And I had never met the fellow before, and I was expecting some knockout gorgeous girl when he turned around to introduce her. And when I saw her, I was like, that kind of thing. You know? But beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And truly, on the inside, she's a wonderful lady. Not attractive to me whatsoever. But you know what? The outside's the bonus. Why? Because time is cruel to the body. You know, teenagers, they look good, right? They look good. They grow up into 20-year-olds that look even better. But that's just the flower of youth. And the fact is times change. Hair begins to fall out, and it begins to grow in places that I don't even understand why it grows there. And all that muscle that you had begins to turn into flab. That flat belly gets replaced with this, you know. All of those things. You all know what I'm talking about. That beautiful shape that you had in your senior year of high school and that you had in college, it's going to change. The shell fades away. But you know what? That person that's on the inside, that never changes. That should just be getting better with time. Should just be getting better with time. So that person should be beautiful to you on the inside. Thirdly, you need to seek a boyfriend or a girlfriend who is honest. Who is honest. You need to make sure they are truthful in all things. If he is flipping burgers for a living, then he needs to be the best burger flipping, most honest burger flipping guy who is there. If she's working commission somewhere, she needs to be the most honest working person being a salesman at that store. Because listen, folks, when it comes to honesty, if that person can sit down at a table with his mother and you being beside of him, his father, and they can tell them things that are untrue and never blink an eye, don't think for one moment that they won't lie to you. And don't think for one moment that they already haven't. If he can lie to his employer, if she can lie to his customer, if he can lie to his mother and daughter, they will lie to you. I had just tell this story shortly. I had a young lady at work for me. She was engaged to be married. The guy she was marrying, compulsive liar. Everybody else saw it. She couldn't see it. He went away for the weekend to Myrtle Beach for a conference. Actually, it was for other reasons, but you know, he came back and told her that he flew to Cuba, and she believed him. You know, you get tied up in people and you don't think. Be careful. If you start to see that pattern, get away. Now, the first three things that boys and girls should be doing together, looking for that same kind of person, they're interchangeable. But the Bible is clear, too, that there's some roles of a godly relationship that are not always reversible. You see, God's Word has expectations for women, it has expectations for men. So in the remainder of time that I have, I'm going to look at some of these things, some of these traits that we should be looking at. So first of all, we're going to look for the ladies here. First of all, young ladies, the young man that you are developing a relationship should have a trait of leadership. It is well established in the Word of God. It is the pattern of God's Word that it is the husband who is to lead. In Ephesians 5:23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." Now, marriage might indeed be later, but right now, ladies, I want to ask you a question. Is the guy that you're interested in someone who can make a decision on his own? Does he have to ask for somebody else's opinion before he makes up his mind on every little thing? Because if he can't make decisions about little things in life, how can you expect him to make big decisions in life? Can he lead in such a way that he doesn't trample over others? When you see him help organize a practice, whatever it might be, does he lead by example or does he lead by power and authority? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because a true leader will lift up other people, make them desire to want to be part of something. Godly leadership is not something that is forced. It's something that makes people want to follow. As part of his leadership, he is to be a spiritual leader as well in the family. So, have you ever heard him pray? Is it important to him when you go to church with him or he comes to church with you or whatever? Does he desire to take part? If he's at his own church, does he have a desire to be part of his service, to lead in part of his service in whatever way that he can? Is he the kind of guy you can picture telling your children about God and about Christ? Because if he's not, move on. Secondly, girls, you need to look for a fellow who is willing to work. And by this, I don't necessarily mean that he has to have necessarily a 9-to-5 job. And I understand that when kids are in school, they can't necessarily do that. But the fact is he willing to work? Is he willing to mow grass? Is he willing to dig a ditch? Is he willing to do things, whatever needs to be done in life? Or is life just all about him? The Bible is clear that a man should take care of his family. The only way for a man to take care of his family is to get out of the front of the TV and go to work and do that. And along with that, can he take the money that he earns from work and provide it for his family? Or does he spend every dime that he makes on himself in frivolous things? If you want to have a good marriage, find a man who is not afraid to work and can pay the rent before you ever walk the aisle. Thirdly, you need to find a man who is slow to anger. Again, watch how he reacts with other people, whether it's on the field, whether it's at practice, whatever it might be. See how he reacts when things don't go well for him at school, because if he's quick to anger, what's life going to be like for you? Because there's going to be a day that you're going to take the brunt of the anger. There's going to be a day when your children take the brunt of the anger. Is that what you desire in your life? Ladies, if he doesn't have those basic traits, then let him go. Don't take on a social rehab problem. Let his mama have the problem. God has better things in store for you. And don't ever expect for a minute that you're going to change that person and make them into something. And that, listen, folks, marriage doesn't change people. Not like that. Not like what you hope. People say that all the time. Well, when we get married, he'll change. No. Listen, if he hasn't changed before marriage, he ain't going to change after marriage. That's for sure. Now, young men, it's your turn. Now, what do you look for in a young lady that you are interested in dating? Well, number one, besides the ones we've already mentioned there that are common, but for you in particular, she must be willing to follow your lead. Just as we talked about the principles there, as we looked at the first thing for the girls. You need to have someone who is willing to follow a lead, a spirit of submission. And I understand that that's not a popular thought or phrase today, but as much as it is a man's duty to lead, it is a woman's duty to follow. It doesn't mean that she should not have an opinion of her own. It doesn't mean that she can't make decisions for herself. You don't need to order her food. She can make that decision. There's no problem in that. that she needs to be willing to follow. You know, I got married on May 2nd while I was still in college, my last year. Less than a month later, my wife gave up everything she had. She gave up her family. She gave up her friends. She gave up a lot of her possessions to pack up into a small U-Haul and move halfway across the country to a place where she knew relatively few people. Some people in my family was about it. If you find yourself with a girlfriend who seeks to rule over you, then you've got the beginning of problems in a future marriage. You need to find a girl who's willing to let you lead. Secondly, fellows, a godly woman is a modest woman. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 says, "Whose adorning let it not be an outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and the quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Now the fact is, folks, I've never met a lady that didn't want to look good. You want to look good. Most men want to look good, I think, anyway. Although sometimes it's more debatable. But, you know, a woman will desire to look good for another man, for her husband, for the person that she's, you know, dating, whoever it might be. And there's a difference in desiring to look good for someone. There's a difference in dressing in such a way that it causes people to look at you and on you. There's a great difference in life. Girls know the difference. Guys know the difference. Listen, your beauty, ladies and guys, as I'm speaking about the girls that you should be trying to follow, her beauty should be her godly spirit, not how short her skirt is, not how far down her shirt may go. Her physical beauty should be for her husband, not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's around. And the last trait this afternoon, as I understand, I'm running late. I believe you need to look for a young lady who loves children. Listen, the greatest calling that a woman has in this life is that of children. In 1 Timothy 5:14 it says, "I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Listen, men, if you desire to have a family, if you desire to have children someday, you need to look for a woman, obviously, who desires to have children as well, and someone who desires to be with kids. So look and see, how does she handle herself around kids? Does she run from them? Does she, or will she put them on her lap and cuddle with them, or whatever it might be? You can learn a lot by watching somebody. Now, I've said a lot, and I could say a lot more, but I will say this as we end. You see, as it comes to choosing someone that you might go out with, again, I fall back on choose only a date who would make a good mate. That is, someone that would make a good marriage. But just as true, when you start dating a boy, your expectation on date one should not be marriage. That is not a real expectation. And I hope for you, younger ones, that you will find the right person, that you will find the one whom God has ordained for you. Some of you all may only date one person, and that's great in life. But for the rest of us, who took a few times around the block, when you start a relationship, start by learning to be friends. And this is true for everybody. Start by learning to be friends. Get to know those qualities that we've talked about so far. Because the truth is, sometimes people rush into relationship following after things like physical lust. They end up married, and the kids grow up, and they move out, and the home is empty, and the parents find out they were never really even friends in the first place. And folks, that's even more sad. So do yourself a favor and make sure that you're friends. I want to end there.